It's time for Golf DMV, the podcast highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And now, here is Claude Jennings.
Everybody, welcome back to Golf DMV. Notice I didn't say Golf DMV podcast because we're moving from podcast to radio, baby. 1500 AM Federal News Network. Thank you so much to the good folks there. Particularly, I want to say thank you to Lisa Wolf, who is the program director there. She's the boss at Federal News Network. She always looks out for me. Thank you so much, Lisa. And thank you to Joel Oxley for giving us an opportunity and the good folks at Podcast One and Hubbard Radio, how that whole relationship works. And for giving us this platform for the last, 2 years? Well, yeah. We've done 2 years. This is our third.
Yeah, we're going into our third year.
Over 100 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's picking up steam. And so now we're moving from podcast only to radio. So if you're in the DMV, right, you can listen on 1500 AM starting the first weekend, the first Sunday in August, August 4th.
August 4th.
Right. 7:30 AM to 8:30 AM.
Set your alarm clocks.
Tell everybody about it.
Right.
You know, whether you're getting up and you're going to the golf course, maybe you're out jogging or something like that. Maybe you're going to an early sunrise church service, but you'd rather be playing golf.
Right. Listen to the boys.
Just listen to us and you'll have something to end. Or you know how you've got those earbuds?
Yeah.
You know, the AirPods or whatever they call them.
Oh, people put them in during the church?
Put them
in. Hey, there you go. There you go.
Put them in during church service. Right. So you can have something to entertain you.
There you go.
Just don't laugh out loud during the sermon.
Right. Exactly. And be sure that whenever LB is speaking, you turn it down in case anybody can hear what's happening. So we're really excited about that. 1500 AM. Thank you so much, Federal News Network. You can also listen to it live online, federalnewsnetwork.com. But also, I mean, the regular way you get the podcast, you can still listen to the show. You can still go to golfdmvpodcast.com. You can hear the show. If you already subscribe on iTunes or Google Podcast or whatever, however else you hear the show, you can still get it that way. Right. Nothing, if you're a podcast listener, nothing's going to change.
Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah, exactly. Still subscribe, rate, and review.
Yeah, exactly.
Hit, you know, hit those like buttons, do what you do. Unsubscribe, resubscribe. Let's inflate those download numbers.
And also go to their website and buy some merchandise.
Buy some stuff. Listen, this doesn't, buying stuff doesn't necessarily directly help the show grow. It just helps our pockets grow.
Right. Right.
And that's what we're in here for.
And it makes you fashionable with our Golf DMV logo on your chest, on your hat. I mean, hey.
Yeah.
Oh, we got shirts coming out. I did meet with the embroiderer. What day? Monday,
last Friday,
I think it was. Something like that.
Okay.
One day last week, I met with her.
I feel like it was like Thursday.
It was later in the week. Yeah.
The days are running past me. What can I tell you? I'm getting old. But whatever. They're coming soon. Look for that on our website soon. Very soon.
There's so much stuff happening with Golf DMV. And so for everybody who's been listening from the beginning, like Jerry Boston and other people, thank you for sticking in.
Yeah, absolutely.
And continue to listen. Mm-hmm. And the show's going to be on the radio, so be sure to listen in when we're on that. We've got a lot to talk about. We've got the Open Championship to discuss. Shane Lowry wins, but we'll have more on that later. I'm trying to grow the game. I've got a beginner, this guy Alex, who works with another radio station that I work with in the DMV. I won't mention their call letters because again, we're 1500 AM.
Right.
Golf DMV.
No cop out here.
Yeah. And so there's a different network that I work for as well. And this guy's trying to get in the game. I took him out for his first round ever at Paint Branch earlier today.
Okay.
As temperatures scorched over 100 degrees.
Did you do full 18?
Early.
No, we just played 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you go early?
We teed off at 4:00.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Speaking of go to the game, you guys know I took Glenn out to Topgolf today.
Did you?
Yeah, so I'd like to hear about how your experience went.
We'll hear about the Topgolf experience today.
Yes.
And what makes things even worse, much to my wife's chagrin, I took our 6-year-old with us.
Oh,
plus 100 degree heat. 4 p.m.
He can handle it.
Yeah, he can handle the heat.
He got soft bones.
Yeah, just keep him hydrated.
Exactly. But of course, we'll have more on that later.
All right.
Payback weekend, Glendale.
Yes.
It started out, I think we had 7, and then many, including myself, backed out. I backed out because of a funeral.
Right.
I won't even get into the specifics, but it was a funeral.
Yeah, Jerry Boston, one of our loyal listeners, was going to play too, but his wife got stuck in Chicago at the airport.
What that got to do with him playing golf? She's stuck.
He has kids.
Yeah.
He was a responsible dad and didn't bring his son out into the 100 degree weather to play golf. So, you know.
Yeah.
Can't blame him for that.
That's true. No, you're right. You're right. No. So I was going to play. I backed out because of a funeral.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Listen, I feel like sometimes we have these moments as humans where we literally just think of ourselves.
Right.
And I have to be honest, when I heard about the lady who passed,
right,
and I've probably had maybe two handfuls of encounters with her. Great person. I mean, every time I met her, from the moment I met her, I felt like she knew me for years.
Get the qualifiers out of the way.
Warm and loving. You know what I mean? And so I'm sad that this has happened, obviously. And,
absolutely.
And I'm friends with some of her kids.
I'm friends with some of her kids.
You're a friend of the family.
Yes. Right. Yes, friend.
Right,
friend of the family, and so I was sad when I heard the news.
You know, she had
some health issues. Yeah. It is, you know, and so I understand that, right? But the first thing that came to my mind when she passed was how sad I was for you know the family and how big of an impact this was. You know what I mean? Like this is as someone who lost their dad at 12, I know how it is to lose a parent. So I get it. The second thing that came to my mind was
1A and 1B.
Gosh, I hope that this funeral is not on the 20th because we have a tea time set up. And he's like, I get that it's selfish, right? And so I think sometimes, like, when we fall into these moments of selfishness, it's fine if we acknowledge it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, you know what? I'm totally being selfish here, but I hope it's not on my tea time for the 20th.
Well, my motto is life is for the living.
I like that.
Mind you, LB says he knew the same lady, felt the same way I felt.
He's out there with me.
Knew the same kids.
Yep. And I play golf.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when you send a nice text or some flowers.
I didn't do any of that.
Well, you didn't have to admit to that.
Mentally, my heart was heavy for them.
He said,
like, oh man, dang, she passed.
All right, you're in the box, bro. You know what I mean? That's the next
thing. who's teeing off next?
Like, man, it's on the down. Hey,
we all gotta go.
We've all been there.
We all gotta go.
And we've all done exactly what you've done.
Right.
Yeah. No, whether it's a concert or just not wanting to go or even it being awkward. So I 100% get it.
Yeah. So
I went to a funeral on Thursday. Matter of fact, I went to one on Thursday. Okay. They had a dress code that was a little bit different than normal.
Yeah.
So
right,
yeah, and when I walked up to the church, my wife and I dressed as we were told to dress.
Oh, don't tell me I was the only one.
Well, we got to the door and nobody else was dressed the same way.
Oh no!
So I turned and looked at my wife. I was like, "Uh-oh, I think we're underdressed." But then, I strutted on up in there.
Of course.
I would do my George Jefferson walk and walked on up in there. And then I saw the rest of the family down front, and they were dressed
That's the way it is.
Yeah. Okay. And the family was dressed that way, not everybody.
Things like that happen. You know what I mean? 100%. It's just funny the things that interfere with tea times. You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
You plan, and I'm sure somebody listening right now can relate to that. You know what I mean? You plan a tea time, you want to play, and then life happens and gets in the way.
You got to make a decision. Which is more important to me, this event or golf?
Right.
That's what it comes down to.
It does. Right. Yeah, hey, anyone in the sound of our voice, if you have a funny story about something you avoided to make a tea time, or something that you skipped the tea time out, please send it in. I would like to, what was that? GolfDMV@gmail?
Yeah.
GolfDMV podcast@gmail.com.
Send it in. Well, maybe we'll tell your story on the air.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be good. Okay, so speaking of funerals, Glendale. Almost time to bury that golf course, right?
For whatever reason. 42 days left?
Yeah, because it was 44 on Saturday.
On Saturday.
So they have a countdown clock right behind the... I forget the lady's name who takes your money.
I don't remember.
I think she's the owner, manager, or whatever.
Yeah, I think so.
But right behind her, there's a big clock. And it's on it's a countdown clock. It was 44 days. It's countdown to seconds and minutes. It's like
a New Year's Day.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah, basically, yeah.
Wow. The story behind that, if you're just joining us, is the fact that we played Glendale. Hearing it was going to close, we decided to play it a few weeks ago when it kicked off about a month or so. And so we said we was going to go back and get some revenge. Right. So who ended up playing with you guys?
It was myself, LB, Rick. Rick's brother, whose name I do know. I'm just not going to say it because we all know it. And Rick's friend. I don't remember.
I forgot his name.
Yeah, I forgot
his name. He told me. I shook his hand, looked him dead in his eye. And as soon as the words left his mouth and went in my ears, I forgot it.
Yeah. That's my guy. I played with him one time at University of Maryland. Mm-hmm. Great guy. And it was the first time meeting
Rick. And you don't remember his name either?
Rick's friend. No. Now,
like 2 minutes later, we were sitting in the car. I was like, what is his name?
Yeah. So I learned this from our buddy Lamar Barnes, because I was just fascinated for a few rounds that I played with him at Woodmore, how he quickly would remember people's names.
Okay.
And like, Lamar, what? And he writes them down on the scorecard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Everybody he plays with, he just writes their name.
That's what I should do.
He'll put, like, you know, Thomas, blue shirt.
Right.
you know, Reggie red hat.
Well, to be fair to ULB, usually when you're out asking about the podcast, promoting that, you will ask the starter, hey, what's your name, or the cart girl, or whatever.
And that's what I normally do. I normally write stuff down too, but
I think we just thought we would remember.
Because it was just written.
Did all five of you guys play at the same time, or did they divide you guys up?
Well, yeah, we did two and three.
Yeah,
okay. And on the turn, when Vernon and I was going to tee off, because there was a foursome in front of us that had started drinking. I think they were drinking before they teed off.
Like the Country Bears meets the frat boys.
Yeah, I mean, they were getting it.
They were turning up.
Right, the one guy.
Now, what time was this when you guys teed off?
We had a 7:30 and a 7:40.
Yes.
So they had a really early tee time and pub time.
Because he came out of the one guy, when I was going in to get a sandwich or something, he came out with four beers already.
Oh, wow.
The one guy by himself.
In the morning.
In the morning.
By the way, in the heat. Now, by the, it was hot Saturday.
It was hot as hell.
Now, by the way, now, you know, whether you drink or not, like, shout out to Glendale for understanding. Folks are playing on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
It may be 7 o'clock.
Right.
Folks may want to drink.
They open.
Because some places will wait till 11 o'clock to serve.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I never had that.
Well, also, they only got 42 days left, so there's a lot of bleep it left.
Right. Yeah. Because they even give out, instead of giving out score cards, they give out score books.
Oh, wow.
Because they have so many of them. Yeah. They was like, well, we never use them. Let's give them away now.
Yeah.
Because nobody really goes to their local, you know, course and purchase these, you know, yardage books and all this other kind of stuff. Nobody, you know, gets those.
And the weird part is, I wish I had remembered that I had it, because sometimes we become so whole and we go like, which was this one the one again?
Right.
But Vern did have a new, well, you were talking about your new, you got a new gadget.
Steve Krupin
buys these books.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Really?
At the courses that he goes
to.
Does he like save them and then
I don't know. I'll ask him next time I see him.
Yeah. Okay.
But we'll get him out.
So back to the, so we talked to, I forget her name too.
Right.
The lady at the desk who runs the place. But so I asked her about, you know, the closing and that kind of stuff. And Vern talked to her as well. The only question I asked her was what were they going to do with, what was going to happen to the property when they sold it?
Right.
And she said it is going to be developed for more housing.
Yeah, which is trash.
Which is what we need. We need more. Her and I kind of laughed about it because I said, yeah, that's what we need, more housing. And she said, yeah, right. And then, but then she said, but people keep buying them.
That's true.
Good point.
Okay.
That's true.
Good point. I asked her directly. It almost seemed like a stupid question because she kind of came at me with a little bit of like a little hint of like, come on, dumbass. I asked her directly. I said, so, I mean, would you mind telling me exactly why it's closing? Is it some, you know, hoping she would give me some weird, some weird answer or something like that.
Right.
No, she's like, no, it's bad business. She's like, you know,
money,
basically. Yeah. Like nobody's playing. She said that Saturday she had no tee times after 10:45.
Are you serious?
Right. She said it's Saturday. But she made sure to throw a shot at the county. She said, listen, it's hard for us to make money when we're not subsidized like other courses in the area that don't have to make money.
By the way, I met a gentleman who works for PG County.
Right.
And he works in the
Parks and Rec, and
he works in the budgeting division or whatever.
Right.
And he literally said that. He said none of the golf, because I asked him, I said, man, I don't know how much money y'all get into Enterprise, but it's always in great condition.
Right.
And he's like, the problem is, of course, it doesn't make any money.
Right.
He said it doesn't make any money.
Right.
He said we always are in the negative.
And I remember you told me that. Mm-hmm. As soon as she said that, I said out loud, I was like, oh, Enterprise. She just kind of gave me this look like, MFR. And so she was like, we're basically not making any money. We don't have any tee times today. If people aren't playing, you know, they're going to, I guess, like you said, they're going to turn it into something that people will buy, which is more homes. Which makes me sad. I told LB, I wish PG had some of, however Montgomery County took over Hampshire Greens, I wish they would just say, hey, we've got like a handful of courses here. Let's just go ahead and take this one. If you can subsidize it, operating loss, you're breaking my pockets for real estate taxes.
Right.
Why don't you go ahead and take the course over?
Exactly.
But you know what? That's a good point. Because think about it.
What's that?
If PG County, or even if any of these courses, like take, you know, the group that, like whether it's Oak Creek, Lake Presidential, Renditions, if they and Woodmore,
right?
Like if they wanted to go, like, hey, why don't we lump in a group of these PG County courses and make a membership similar to Montgomery County,
right?
Where if someone pays $1,500 in a season,
you're good on all of them.
You can play all of these courses,
right?
And you have access to all the locker rooms, whatever you wanted to do.
Right.
And now Woodmore's locker room is really, really nice, so maybe you got to pay a little extra to be, you know, for your stuff to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I think they could make a lot of money there.
Right.
So you loop in Glendale. Or if the county wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I feel like PG County, you look at Montgomery County and you got all these courses. Then you go to PG and you've got Enterprise, you've got Henson Creek, and you've got Paint Branch.
Right.
And I'm like,
that's it. That is for, that's it for PG County as far
that's,
as the
that's it. That's Enterprise, it. Hensley Creek, Paint Branch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
PG County should right. loop in Glendale. Like, what are you
yeah.
doing?
They should. Yeah, it could. They should. It could. Maybe, but the only caveat I would say to that, I mean, those two being so close together.
What, Enterprise and Glendale?
Enterprise and Glendale being see, so close together.
I can't even do that because how many of the MoCo courses are like right
yeah,
down the street
yeah,
from each other?
As soon as I said that, I thought about yeah. how yeah. close
Northwest and Hampshire
and
Greens.
Hampshire Greens are. Mm-hmm. You can spit
and
the
then
one
Sligo,
and the other.
Yeah. quick nine hole joint is like
just
not
in a
too
row
far.
Too, yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, yeah. my thing, I mean, you think about it because we talk about this on the course all the time. Man, I mean, if you get Lake Presidential, right. Woodmore, Oak Creek, because right. they're all in that same vicinity,
right.
Renditions, mm-hmm. and then Lupin Glendale there, that's a strong five-course membership.
That is a strong five-course yeah. membership. And, yeah. hey, you get Enterprise on there, too. And I love this mm-hmm. idea from Claude because a rising, you know, what was it, rising tide lifts all boats or whatever?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. yeah. It's not like, because I asked her, I said, yeah, everybody's struggling. She said, yeah, they are. And I guess they're just struggling more than most. They have mm-hmm. to close. She said lots of golf courses are closing. So there's no, in other words, so to your point, there's no reason for them to be competing hard against each other because it's not like all of you, like one of you is just killing it. Like, oh,
right. Right.
You know, we're hand over exactly. fist. I'm sure they're all struggling. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you group them all together. You group mm-hmm. one single thing. And now it incentivizes golfers to go out and play all these courses on this right. side of town. So, right. yeah. I agree.
And it's yeah. interesting, too, because, like, we always talk about never wanting to play after 8 or 9 o'clock because right. of the slow times.
Mm-hmm.
But if I knew that there were no tee times at mm-hmm. all at Glendale after, what did you say, like 10:45? After 10:45,
yeah.
I'd book at 1 o'clock.
And, yeah. and if the rate was, you know, the going rate had been reduced.
Right.
Right.
You know,
so $40.
Yeah. Right.
I'd play, I mean, I'd wake up, mm-hmm. have breakfast, mm-hmm. you know, with the family, yep. and then take Manny to karate, drop him back off, and then meet everybody at 1 o'clock for right. a quick, you know, three and a half, 4 hour round
mm-hmm. yeah.
at Glendale.
Yeah.
I think no one knows that the course doesn't have any tee time.
But the one thing I would have to, again, another question I would have for that, at least for that particular day was, right. it was 100
it
degrees.
It was 2 million degrees.
You know? So it could, I don't know how much the weather affected those people not.
Probably a bit. Nobody wanted yeah. to be out there.
Yeah, because right. today, remember we talked about this too, because I rode, when I on my way home, I go past Blue Max.
Oh, yeah. Did you look?
Yeah, and I looked over there, and normally a parking lot, you can see from 108 whether it's full or not.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it was about half full
yeah.
on Saturday.
Yeah, only the real golfers about that life that day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it wasn't, I think the heat could have had something
and
to do
with
that.
And none of us really mind playing it in the extreme heat, right?
Yeah, I do.
I prefer not to.
But you still played it.
I did.
But that's why we played at 7:30 and not 1 o'clock.
That's yeah, true.
Yeah, I mean,
or yeah. 4 o'clock like me with my 6
year. Yeah, I mean, it was, yeah. it was so hot that morning. I mean, I don't sweat, you know, a lot,
right.
but
right.
I was, I mean, I, a couple of times I had to stop putting because the sweat was running down my face and my eyes.
Yeah. it was real. I took ice and like put it on my neck and in my shirt.
I did the same yeah. thing. Yeah, yeah. I had like yeah. these yeah, like Ziploc bags of ice. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. I had a little small little cooler yeah, and just, right. you know, put it on my back and yeah. you know, put it. Manny literally, so you know, they'll put these big Gatorade coolers yeah. full of ice and yeah. do it the day of the melt. He puts his head under it and pushes the button and just has the cold water dripping all over.
That's what it is, bro. 104 degrees,
right?
100% humidity, whatever. It's crazy.
And if you ask Manny and his crazy father, will we do it again? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just for the love of the game.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, it was a good round, but it was hot.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
was hot. The one thing I noticed too, maybe the bugs are smarter than we are. There were no bugs.
No, too damn hot.
Bugs are like, hey, that's
a bite going on.
Yeah.
Look at them fools out there.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. So you guys did play. So
we did,
so they're
did
closing
play.
Down because of the house.
Financial, they're gonna yeah, where they can't afford it.
I hope they made a ton of money selling the course.
I would assume they will.
Yeah,
I mean,
the developer's going to pay a pretty penny absolutely. For that with, what is that, Fairway Hills, or not Fairway Hills. Basically, that big housing development on 193.
Other side.
Yeah, on the other side. I can't remember what it's called. And then the other
house. Closer to right like Lanham or Greenbelt. Yes, like,
yeah. Yeah, they should make a nice
Fairmont. Fairmont's what it's called, yeah.
Yeah, it should make a nice killing as far
as 100%. Yeah. 100%. I mean, and there's some prime, that yeah. I mean, that's a that area right there is like prime kind of, mm-hmm. you know,
executive
upper
home.
Middle class
yeah. executive home area.
PG County. Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Okay, so but you guys played, how'd the round go?
Vern, you start.
Okay, so we started off talking about revenge or payback.
Well, no, let's start with the yardage was what you
right, important.
Right.
Which tee box did
okay,
you
guys? Okay. So
I think you sent me an email asking.
Yeah, I sent a text. Yeah. Right. So the options were 5,300, 5,800, and 62.
And I
said 63 is the tips.
And I responded back, even though I wasn't playing, saying you guys should play 53.
Right. Exactly. So of course we got there. We played 58.
Of course.
Yeah, we did. We did. But my logic there is sound. We all shot really good rounds at Northwest from 59.
So
if we were gonna bleep it up, it was only because of short game and not because of, like, the distance. Because you were even good distance wise from 59.
Sure.
Yep. So I was
shockingly.
Like,
anytime I'm good distance wise, it is really shocking.
Yeah. So we were all good there. So I was like, I think we can do 58 here, and if our short games are good, we should be solid. As far as how it went for me, revenge, and you know, we talked about payback. I'll say I put something. I didn't really pay them all the way back. I put some on.
Put a down payment on.
I put some on.
Put a down payment.
Layaway. We're like, I would say we're even now. Randale drew first blood, and you know, I've still accounted with a little bit of relief.
Yeah.
Ended up with get straight to the point. I ended up with a 92. No, you had a 92, right?
I had 91.
You had 91. So I had a 92. I was a stroke worse than LB. Started off really good and just flamed out.
Yeah, his back.
That driver was trash.
So you started out, but you started out good.
Even front nine, and I think through 10 or 11, I was only 6 or 7 over.
Wait, what? Wait a minute.
Then he started yanking that.
So wait
drive.
A minute. So like your front nine, you were like 4 or 5 over?
Maybe 5. Yeah.
Oh
yeah,
my goodness.
Yeah, he was killing the front because he had a bunch of pars
bunch
in
of
a
pars.
Row.
Yeah.
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 He was his irons was on point because one time, I mean, you was hitting greens in regulation.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I'm gonna pull up the scorecard. Why are you talking about yours? Okay, yeah, but I JB Holmes did up though. Yeah,
yeah.
Holmes
did
up
for sure.
And we'll have more in JB Holmes later.
So what I did something a little different this time. I tried to, in order to figure out where my downfall is, I kept a note for like if for example, on hole number 3.
This is what I love too, is how analytical. we really try to pay attention.
Like, think we can do
where
it?
Do things fall apart for me? Right. Like, you know what I mean? We're really trying to figure this thing out.
So the 3 clubs that gave me problems this last round was my hybrid.
Okay.
I hit it twice. Actually, I hit it like 3 times. 2 of them were terrible.
Okay.
My 5-iron, put it in the water on number 3. Number 3 is the dog leg
So I hit it.
I skied my drive. I never skied drive, but I did. So it was a little bit short. So I get up to it and I say, okay, I'm just going to take my hybrid, just bump it down here another 50, 60 yards, middle of the fairway, to give me a nice, easy shot over the par.
Right, get it on, one putt for par, 2 putt bogey, I'm good.
Exactly. So that was my plan. I get up over the ball, take some practice swings, I pull my hybrid out, which is, this is my little bump and run club. Usually works fine. I hit it. It goes 2 feet.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It literally went 2 feet.
It's pretty bad.
It may have went 10. On the max, it went 10.
Right.
Right. So now I got 180 something yards now over the water.
Right.
So I put my 5-iron out.
All that garbage.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm swinging. At this point, I'm still feel good about it.
Yeah,
I
mean, yeah, like, it's okay.
I can do this. I've hit this club before. It's not like it's foreign to me.
Right.
You know?
Who are you convincing?
Right, exactly. Myself. I'm talking myself into it. So I get up there, I line up, I hit the ball, and I need to go 108, and it went 130.
Yep.
Right in the middle of the lake. Right. So, you go. So then that particular hole. So the clubs that gave me that was the one that really messed me up all day was my putter.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Listen.
Dude, I had, my God.
Yeah, listen, it was trash. The same way he immediately jumped in to tell you how trash my driving was in the back, I can tell you like that putter. Yeah. I mean, it was appalling.
It was terrible.
It was like you less.
It was worse than me on a normal.
Did
you guys see Ricky Fowler, by the way? No, Roy McIlroy. Yes, was that on was that hole number 1?
Yeah. Hole 1.
Wait, did he like 4 putt?
Yeah.
From like 3 feet away?
Golf, golf gets all everybody, right. Anyway, it's a great equalizer. Yeah. But yeah, he was struggling with the putter.
Yeah, I couldn't. I do. it was
super soft greens, nice and receptive. I'm talking like 10 feet out, club.
Right.
And he hit 5 feet.
He would go 5 feet. And I thought I would hit it.
I'm like walking off the green waiting for the 2 tap, and I look back, and he's like still a mile away. What are you doing?
Like, I don't know, man. I could not get those greens together to save my life.
Yeah.
Dang. And that putter cost me at least 6 strokes. At least.
So we're talking mid-80s at this point.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
It cost me 6 strokes like I'm a bad putter. Like me, I say my putter cost me 6 strokes or 8 strokes, but that's because I can't putt.
Right.
These are putts you normally make.
Yeah. Well, not even that.
Or lag close.
Exactly. My lags would just
crap.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. It didn't put a word. Yeah. I mean, it was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, I had one that was probably 20 feet away, and I hit a 10.
It was bad.
And I still got 10 feet to go. I mean,
that is me. I leave them ridiculously short.
The thing about it, when I went to the range the other day, I practiced. I mean, I did some putting. I did a lot of putting.
Yeah, that was you who put the picture on Instagram at Blue Mash.
Yeah, right? The whole range to myself, man. And I did everything. You know what I mean? But
suffice it to say for me, I'll just keep it short. Like, basically, like LB said, I started off the front really good. The four phases of the game, right? Driver, irons, short game, putting. For me, putting, net positive. My putting was on point. I was putting my ass off that day. Short game was actually pretty good, too. That was net positive. Mm-hmm. Pitching and chipping, didn't really have any flubs. Irons, I would call neutral. And the driver was a big, big negative.
Okay. Yes.
Started off okay. Mm-hmm. And then, like, towards 10, I normally pull the ball or pull hook it. Right. Bro, I was pulling it, like, behind me, like an amateur.
I mean, it was straight into the woods.
Yeah, like
it
no
was hope. Like no question where that went.
it was bad. And I don't know what happened because
that's the thing.
On the front, I hit a couple of good drives.
When stuff goes bad, you're just like, I have. And the worst feeling in the world is when the driver's not working, and you just have no clue
what happened.
I'm hitting the ball the exact same way I normally do. Same swing, no always clue why it's not working.
Yep. Right. And what made it more frustrating is because even though I say the irons were neutral, they were good at, like, if I was driving okay, even I would have scored, I think, under under 90, because my irons were good enough to get me around the green.
Finishing that front nine plus five.
Yeah, it was actually plus seven, but still okay. I looked it up. But still, it wasn't bad. Yeah, like, still, it was basically plus seven through 10.
Yeah, 90, you're good. Mm-hmm. You're definitely going to break 90 at that point.
Right.
And if you get hot, 80s in play.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
So that's what was frustrating, losing the big stick. So this week, before we go out to Walden, which of course, I'm not going to lie, when we picked this week's round, I was trying to avoid Walden because Walden is tight. And I was struggling with the driver.
That's the one
in
Crofton.
Oak Creek. Yeah, it's in Crofton. I was like, Oak Creek, like there.
Because we were thinking Oak Creek. We were thinking Oak Creek Enterprise somewhere else. But it was like, for the sake of the show, we've never reviewed Walden. Well, once, maybe years ago.
No, I don't know if you guys.
I know we played it, but I don't think it may have been pre-podcast.
It might have been. Yeah, me, you, and Damon. And someone else. Maybe Rick.
Yeah,
it might have been Rick. Yeah.
Well, actually, I'm glad I'm going to miss it because I don't like that course.
So Walden is the responsible choice, but I low-key tried to just be like, hey, guys, like, oh, Greg has time and stuff. And Carl's like, no, Walden, I think Walden's good. We're going to do it for show. So Walden, because it's tight. It's short, but it is tight. So I'm going to work that driver all week. But yeah,
what's the tee time?
7:15.
Okay. Oh,
you got a fourth yet?
Yeah. Huh? We don't.
Okay, I'll give you Reggie's number.
Okay, all right. So we'll get to that because I was thinking about maybe bringing Glenn too. So
keep him
on standby. So you're going to talk about Alex? I guess you're growing the game.
Growing the game. So, but before we get to the growing the game thing, let's talk about the Open Championship really quickly.
Yeah.
Folks who are tuning in for our thoughts on the BJ.
I'm trying to host the show.
No, you're good. If I was any good, I would have just rolled with it and just did it. So Shane Lowry, who I oftentimes mistake for JB Holmes.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they're built the same.
Or Andrew Johnston. Although they keep calling Andrew Beef Johnson. I don't call him Beef. That's so stupid. Yeah. Andrew Johnson. So anyway, Shane Lowry wins about eight strokes or six strokes?
No, it was four. It was down to four, I think, in the end.
Was it?
Okay. Yeah, because I think it was 15 and something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came back down.
Whatever it was like the most since like Tigers won by this many.
15 under par.
Louis Oosthuizen won. Yeah, under, yep. I mean, he beat the field by quite a lot. I think a few of the things that stood out to me, number one, was how quickly Rory McIlroy just imploded.
It was bad.
Yeah.
It was
Phil
bad.
Mickelson
yeah,
and Tiger bad, bad were not him. Like
they
even
not,
yeah. Like, make the cut.
No. From Jump Street, they were done.
Even Gary Woodland. Yeah. I feel like Gary Woodland's like, hey, I got one, I'm good.
Right, absolutely.
Right.
They were just out of the picture totally.
Yeah. Right.
Ricky Fowler did what Ricky Fowler does, he just hangs around close enough but never breaks through.
Always the bridesmaid.
Much to my 6-year-old's disappointment and my wife's joy for whatever reason.
She don't like Ricky, huh?
The only reason she doesn't like Ricky is because our son loves him so much.
Oh.
And I have no clue why she... It's weird.
Wow,
like,
that's why are you rooting... Yeah.
To say the least, it's like, why do you root against him so much?
Your I feel son, bad for his future girlfriend.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's going to be bad for his dating. It's like, your son loves this guy. Why you want to see him lose so much? He misses a putt, and man, he's like, and she's like laughing, like snickering. It's like, what are you doing? So anyway, Brooks Koepka, again...
Big game.
Top five. He shows up for all majors.
Yeah.
Even said it in a press conference, I think the day before, maybe that Wednesday before the Open Championship.
Yeah.
He says, I don't practice unless it's a major.
Right. That's my guy. When he says, when you see me playing golf on TV, that's when I play golf. Swagged out. He's almost yes. like got this contempt for the game or something.
Yeah. Exactly. Like he doesn't like playing. Uh-huh. Like, I don't play this stuff.
I only play this stuff good.
Right. Well, he was a baseball star, right?
Yeah,
and then got injured. Right. Yep. And then his parents were like, why don't you pick up golf? And he's good. And so he's on tour making money.
Wow. Angry about it.
And he's taking like he's always on social media taking half naked pictures of himself and his girlfriend.
Oh, really?
They're always somewhere. Yes, on IG. He's always at a waterfall wearing like the only thing skimpier than his girlfriend's bikini is his. Wow. Like, and he's just out there. Like, it's just, but he doesn't care. And he has this contempt for the game where he doesn't like players. Uh-huh. Did you hear the story where Tiger texted him and said, hey man, let me know when you want to get together for a practice round. Mm-hmm. He never texted back.
Ghosted. Right.
Tiger's still waiting for Brooks to text him back.
But to Brooks' defense, I agree with Brooks. There's no way I would want to play with Tiger with his game being that crap.
Right.
You know what I mean? He could bring my game down. Why?
That's true.
Don't play with your trash game.
Well, and the whole thing is, when you look at his attitude, he's like, we're not buddies. Because he's good friends with DJ.
Mm-hmm.
But even he doesn't fool with DJ when it comes to competition. It's like, I'm trying to win here.
Right. Well, see, he has Tiger's attitude when Tiger was on top back in the day. Because Tiger was that way. He didn't give a blank about nobody.
Right. Oh, wow.
You know what I mean?
Hold on. Now, did you see this quote from JB Holmes about Brooks' pace of play?
No.
It just popped up when I put it on Instagram. Quote, Koepka was playing like he had ice cream in the car. I barely had time to plumb bob my irons. Quote, JB Holmes.
Dang.
Pace of play was an issue at the Open. Wow. That's my guy, Brooks. I play fast too, baby.
Yeah, Brooks plays fast. Brooks talks about pace of play. We heard his quote earlier this year where he said, listen, I love majors. They're easier to win. Right. Half the field ain't going to win anyway. He said the other half psychologically, get themselves out of it. Uh-huh. He said, then you got a portion of them who I'm just better than, so I'll beat them. It doesn't matter.
Right.
He said, and then so when you boil it down, it's like five.
Five people I got to beat.
Five of us who can win it.
Wow. I like this dude more and more.
I do. He's really cocky and arrogant.
Because the one thing I read about him to Rob Brooks today as far as the pace of play,
right.
His problem he had with JB was, he said, you know, I go to, you know, I hit my ball, I turn around, he only have his glove on.
Tell about JB?
Yeah, JD.
Oh, you know that would annoy me.
Right. Yeah. He doesn't even have his glove on. He hasn't even looked at his shot. He hasn't figured out what club
Jesus
he's going to hit.
Christ.
He doesn't start anything. He didn't start anything until after Brooks had already hit.
No.
Now he goes through his routine and starts
Golf DMV podcast
out.
Listeners, do not be that guy. If you want to come play with us and we're ever on the green, the moment when all of you look at each other like, oh, who's going?
Right.
Enrages you. Oh, well, I'll just stand here with our dicks out and I'll try not to putt. I'm sorry. Listen, it's like, what are we doing? Somebody putt. especially when the guy is like a mile off the green.
He's like, dog.
And just calmly sitting there and I'm 5 feet and he's like, look at me. Oh, you're not going to go? Shift the ball. End of round. I'm sorry.
But it's funny though, because it's like, I mean, you get, like, why is your glove on?
Right.
We're
here to play golf,
exactly.
Man.
Exactly. There are things, if you're a slow person by nature, there are things you can do to help people who aren't. Just to build a better community around you. You know what I mean? Like, if you're at the airport, I get it.
Oh, man.
I get that security isn't going to get to you, but the line has moved and you're standing there.
Right.
Please move up 6 feet.
Yeah, exactly. Just get there.
For line morale. You know what I mean? It helps us. And so when someone hits their ball, don't then all of a sudden got to, like, first of all, why is your glove off anyway after you teed off?
Right.
Just leave
mine off.
You take yours off?
Yes, I do, because my hand gets sweaty.
Okay. I mean, a lot of guys do take theirs off.
Well,
you and I leave ours off.
Yeah. I putt with my glove on.
Me too. I leave my glove on. Once it comes on, it stays on pretty much all around. I did take it off Saturday because it was getting real sweaty.
It's so hot. Yeah. And I even changed my glove in the ninth hole. I change gloves.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, just something I do. Yeah.
Okay.
Because they get moist, they get sweaty, and the gloves last longer too.
Okay.
I'm just saying, you don't wear them out as fast.
All right.
By the way, I had a hole right here on the palm of my glove. I had to get a new one.
See? Oh, look at that.
There you go. Probably because you wear it all the time.
All the time. Sometimes I forget to take it off after the ride. I'm driving home. I got my glove on. Where were we? Oh yeah, no, the championship.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about who did not make the. This is a quick list of who the names, the notables that did not make
those
the
be class. Lost.
Yes, yeah. Snedeker plus two. Jason Day.
His short game should be so clutch.
Yeah. Snedeker. Yep. Yeah, he ain't done squat lately. Jason Day did not make it. Who's A. Johnson? Johnson. I don't know. Obviously McElroy didn't make it. Chaz Reavy did not make it. Patrick Harrington, Gray Woodland.
Did Patrick Reed make the cut?
Yes, I think he did.
Okay. He did. Yeah,
as long as he
played on Sunday.
Yeah, he
did lose. You said Patrick didn't make it. Patrick Harrington? Interesting fact, Shane Lowry is only the second Irish golfer in history to win the British Open. The other one, Open. Mm-hmm. The other one was Patrick.
Right. Yep. Chaz Reed, Patrick Harrington, Woodland, of course. Let's see, anybody else? Zach Johnson.
He talk about falling off.
Yeah.
Talk about Zach.
Zach fell off.
Yeah. Billy Horschel. DeChambeau did not make it. Good. Tiger Woods, of course.
I don't know what it is about DeChambeau. I don't like everybody, but this
Jimmy Walker.
Something's off a little bit. Not there for you.
Ian Poulter, Phil Mickelson.
Old Ian.
Mark Leishman. Wow.
Big Mark.
Man, big names.
Adam
down there.
Scott was plus nine.
You said that very happy. Yep.
But that one asshole did. Well, let's talk about David Duval.
What's wrong with it? Okay.
Well, you don't like David Duval?
No, I mean,
the draw?
Well, yeah. Okay. Why do you even come out anymore? I mean, really? I mean, why do you even. I know you got a lifetime exemption or however that works because he won it whenever that was.
Right. That's why he gets to come out.
Right.
Yeah.
But why?
I know.
I mean, dude, he was plus 27.
I can imagine. So next year, what I picture happening, like each year with the majors, as he shows up, it's going to be the awkward moment with the officials, kind of like you with the funeral where they're just trying to feel out if he. Right. You know, Dave, conditions going to be real rough. Real rough.
It's going to be raining sideways, you know, buddy.
You already got a championship. There's nobody's going to knock if you know I want to play. Okay, I mean, cool.
If you want to, it's fine. I mean, if you want to, but it's really beneficial. The long hitters this year.
Nobody's looking.
It's okay if you don't play.
I don't know why he puts himself through that and even comes out there.
Quick note on the conditions though for today. Really tough conditions, and apparently only two of the top 10 finishers scored under par.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Everybody was plus.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. Including JB.
Yeah. Old slow JB Holmes. Old lumbering JB.
Yes.
Brooks playing like he had ice cream in the car. He played at a regular pace of play. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. So JB, I did want to mention that JB Holmes is from Campbellville, Kentucky, right outside of Louisville.
Okay.
And that's for our Louisville contingency. That would be Rodney, Steve, and Barry. Just want to make you aware of that your boy from Kentucky.
Old bluegrass.
He was plus 16 today. That's all I want you to know.
Plus 16. Plus 16.
It's tough out there.
I mean, he was in contention when the round started.
Yeah.
He shot plus 16 today.
And you know what I like about that, too? And I was explaining this to New Golfer Glenn the other day where he was talking about the leaderboard. I was like, bro, when you look at the first three days, it is, and you go to last day, it's like a wholesale change.
Exactly.
Like, and I watched the interview with JB Holmes from day three, it's that sort of like, hey, you're in a contention, you might win this thing. Mm-hmm. I just love to compare that swag with the plus 16. Yeah. Well, you know, I just want to be in it so I can, you know, get up there and make a run for the thing and challenging, but, you know, his course plays well on my thing, plus 16.
Right.
Not even, nobody's interviewing him.
Right, no one's even talking to him. No more interviews. They're done with you. Like, there's nothing to say to this guy.
Oh man,
it's crazy though. I mean, because like it's what golf does. Like,
it gets everybody.
The first 3 days, he's in contention. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean, with a real shot to win, and then he's plus 16.
Yeah. Off. Jordan Spieth today, plus 6.
See,
oh wow,
Rosie. I'm not a fan of his either. Plus 8.
Justin Rose,
yeah.
Former number one. I guess Brooks will keep the number one.
He's probably going to keep it.
Yeah.
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 They're probably scared to give it to someone else. They don't want him to show up at the house.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
Big Brooks.
Yeah, he finished plus tied for fourth with him. And Tony Finau played good today, too.
He did. He played good the whole tournament.
Yeah,
pretty much.
So he finished third.
He might have been the only person who didn't finish over par for his round.
One of the two.
Yeah,
one of the three. Because what's the name? Who was this? McIntyre was minus 3 for today.
Right.
Hatton was minus 2. Tony was even. And there was somebody else there. Yeah. Oh, Molinari was minus 5 today.
He had the best round.
What did he finish?
Tied for 11th at minus 3.
Okay. All right.
He must have. Yeah. So today helped him out because he was stinking up the first.
And everybody else was coming back too, so that pushed him up. Lucas Glover tied for 20th.
Okay. All right. He survives another week without getting.
Actually, been having a quiet good season. I mean, he's made
his wife's going to beat him up.
He's made a lot of cuts. He's made a lot of money this year.
I mean, who lets their wife attack their mom, though?
Yeah, a weak man.
Yeah,
that's honestly fair. I get it. My mom's a jerk, but chill out.
You're not gonna put hands on her. Come on, man. You could talk some smack if you want, you know. But nah, we're not doing that.
Yeah. And apparently, she's really abusive when he doesn't finish well on tour. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
I'm the money here.
Yeah, you don't work.
Fall back.
You should probably chill.
Yeah, you need to.
Yeah, you know. You end up back at the trailer park.
You know what I'm saying?
Guilty back to the trailer park from whence he came.
Well, congratulations to Shane Lowry, right? Yeah. I'm glad that an Irishman won it.
His first ever major.
Yep, I like when a home team guy gets it. So.
Yep.
Congrats to him.
So that's it. Majors are done for the year.
That's it.
Let's talk about when you want to do a quick Manny's.
Those who are just checking in, the Manny Millions is so my son, 6-year-old Manny, wants to be on tour. He loves golf, wants to be on tour. I don't want to put too much pressure on him to win. So I'm like, you can make a lot of money. If you're on tour, don't win anything. Just finish, just make the cut and finish last place.
Right.
You'll make over $600,000 a year.
Yep. So this week we had a tie for last place.
Okay.
Two guys you've never heard of. Nino
Brown?
I've heard of that.
My brother's keeper.
Nino Bertasio.
Oh, yeah.
And Yuki Inamori.
Okay.
From Japan.
Okay.
First guy from Italy.
Clearly.
Yeah. I probably chewed their names up, but it doesn't matter. They're not listening. So Nino's 30 years old, 6 foot, 190 pounds. He's from Italy.
Okay.
So he has no PGA. Well, he has a world ranking of 350.
Oh, okay.
So he's probably hasn't won anything.
He's outside the top 125.
Yeah, he hasn't won anything. So he plays on the PGA European Tour. He turned pro in 2011.
Not even the European Tour.
He has some money.
Okay.
He's won some stuff, but now I don't think he's won any tournaments. He has a career earning of $1.5 million. He turned pro in 2011.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay.
So that's all I got on him because I couldn't find stuff on
not
him.
Not a lot of information.
Personal information. That's much. I gave you all I got.
Pretty light down 350 on the list.
Right.
He's got names and pictures. So
this guy, the next guy's, right, because at first they wouldn't even pitch him. I had to go find a pitch. So Yuki, as I'm going to call him, he's from Japan. He's the 180th ranking in the world.
Okay.
So he's 24 years old, 5'7", 150 pounds, a slight little guy.
I guess that's how you feel.
Dang.
So slight.
I used to be 150.
Athletic build?
I used to be that big. He turned pro in 2012, and I put an asterisk beside it because I'm not 100% sure. Because he's in Japan. I'm trying to find information. So
okay.
I think it's 2012. He has two wins though on the Japan Golf Tour. He started playing golf at the age of 6.
Okay.
Manny's, right? See, Manny age. Manny, there's hope for Manny. Mm-hmm. Now this got me at first. His career earnings.
Right.
$233,089,129. Yeah, which equates to still not bad $2,163,000.
Okay, yeah, that's better than my man.
Yeah,
because then I was like, oh, how he make that much money? I was trying to scout it in, how he make that much money. Then that's right, yen, my bad. Okay,
nice. Well,
so that's it for that.
For your Manny Millions, there we go. And in efforts to grow the game, my buddy Alex met with me and Manny today. Sunday, the 21st of July. I think maybe the hottest day we've had this year.
Yeah, this was
over 100 degree temperatures. Yep. I mean, we've got Gatorades that we've got frozen in water that we've got frozen in ice packs and stuff. And so we're out there at Paint Branch because this is Alex's first round ever.
Right.
So Alex took him to the golf course, to the driving range a couple of times. He's hitting, and he's gaining a lot of confidence. Like, man, I think I'm getting this. I'm like, well, we should probably play. And then he's like, nah, man, I want this. So I'm like, let's just go out there and play.
Right.
And so he saw what the game was all about.
Right.
I mean, there was one hole, because nobody's out there but us.
Right.
And there was maybe one other guy we saw out there who was finishing up when we got there. And there was one hole, and I just wanted him to do it. I said, you could pick up if you want to, but just keep going for it, where he literally chipped over the green 6 times.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Just couldn't control the distance.
Right.
Chip over, he chipped back. Mm-hmm. Chipped over, chip back.
Yeah, we got chipped it all day. Over. There's nobody chipped. Here.
I like, dude, like you're hitting the ball too. Hit it softer. Like, why don't you try doing something different? You know what I mean? And even Manny's like, I got a bogey on that hole, Alex. You got triple bogey. You know, he's six. He has no filter. Shit. Yeah, he has no
smack.
Filter. I'm like, dude.
This 6-year-old talking smack.
Exactly.
Why are you hitting it so many times? All of those count.
Yeah. And Manny's teeing up from like the red tees. You know, I'm at the blue tees, the back tee. You know, it's paint branch. Right, and so, and so there's a few times, the first two holes, I think Alex hit from where Manny was hitting, but then he tried to move back to the blue. Uh-huh. And Manny's like, Alex, you should be hitting up here with me.
You're not good yet.
You know, and he was right, like he should be hitting closer up, you know what I mean? But he did it, but it's funny, he did hit two good drives. So, you know, at Paint Branch, really, right. You can only drive like maybe hole number one from the blues. Yep. One, five, and six, and nine. And on six and nine, he hit drives that, again, make you, you know, we always say this, the game will always give you a reason to come back.
Yeah, right,
and so he's got plenty of motivation to come back. Now, here's the thing. It's super hot. I told him Paint Branch is one of the courses that don't care. They're what you wear.
Right.
You can wear some basketball shorts and a t-shirt.
Oh,
yeah. They don't care what you wear.
Grind time.
My man came out there with some black jeans.
Black jeans?
And a,
did he know what the temperature was?
Yes.
Oh,
and
man.
A black polo.
Oh! And a black polo.
Yeah.
So soaked to the bone when he gets out the car, I'm sure.
Right. So I'm like,
what'd he say? I want to absorb as much heat as I can. Jesus Christ.
I'm trying to lose some water weight.
Right. So I was like, hey, man, you know, at Paint Branch, you can wear whatever you want, man. Right. Like, next time, just come up with some shorts and a t-shirt, man.
Yeah. Something
like,
comfortable.
It's hot.
Right.
And so, we had ice packs. I gave him one of my ice packs and said, man, you got to do what you got to do.
Now, you know what's
funny? He was right with Manny pouring the water all over his head. Oh, yeah.
Now, what's funny about that, just about the clothing thing, because I had that same thing with Julius, where he sort of was like, oh, he made a joke about, oh, do I need special shorts and shirt to go play? I was like, bro, you're like, what is it about golf that would make someone wear jeans? Because if you said, hey, Alex, we're going to go run outside for 20 minutes,
That's right.
I guarantee you he would come in some shorts. Hey, Alex, we're going to go work out on the beach.
We're going to play basketball.
Yeah.
We would never show up at the beach in a polo and jeans, black jeans, and loafers. So I wonder what it is about golf that makes people forget that, oh, it's outside. I guess they get confused.
Right. Because people, and we had this conversation, people who don't play golf,
right,
for whatever reason, don't see golf
as a sport. Yep.
Or golfers as athletic.
Right. Yeah. It's leisure. That's leisure.
And yeah, I know there are no hills at Paint Branch to walk up.
Right.
By the time we got to the fifth hole, I was like, man, you think we can sit down? You think we can sit? And I'm like, yeah, if you want to, you know what I mean? Like, sure. But like, now, you know, when you wake up tomorrow and you're sore and you're like, man, you can't say golfers aren't, you know,
aren't athletes.
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny because people will sit there and talk about some of the guys on tour who are bigger. You know what I mean? Like, he's fat. He's, you know, athlete. Mm-hmm. It's like, but you sit there and you look at defensive linemen and offensive linemen in the NFL who can run, you know, like 5'9" in the 40s, you know, like, and you don't have a problem with saying that they're athletes.
Look at the DH. DH in most American League. Yeah. Yeah, big boys, they play first base because they can't move. But they can crack that ball, though.
Right, exactly. It never seems to amaze me. So anyway, we're going the game out that way. All things Golf DMV is at the website, golfdmvpodcast.com. Also, don't forget, August 4th, 7:30 p.m., 1500 a.m., Federal News Network, and LB was saying...
Glenn. We heard about Glenn.
Oh, Glenn. Yeah. Go right ahead. Because Top Golf, you took one of the newbies.
Yeah. So I think Glenn is ready. Glenn is at stage two. You got Alex at stage one. I think we've taken Glenn out. He's been to the range. We've taken him out. He's got new clubs. I took him to the range and just really quickly gave him some of Paul Wilson's, some of the tenets of his swing. Nice. Just on the backswing portion where you make a full turn and stretch, straightened him out immediately. He's hitting like hooks and draws, but he's making much better contact. Okay. I think he's at a point where he could play and manage his own game now. Three wood that goes 200 plus yards.
Okay.
And a consistent 7-iron.
Okay.
So I invited him out to Walden. So I'm going to see. He's out of town or he's somewhere else this week. He's going to go to the range. I said, go to the range. Take what you've learned here today because he had a good session.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can keep it going and do consistently, if you want to come out Saturday at Walden, you're more than welcome.
Did you charge him for the lesson?
No, I did not. It's my main man, 100 grand. I need younger people in the game because LB's going to leave us one day. And when I mean, to temper him. Not this earth.
Not this earth.
But yeah, it's like, you know, me and Claude, we'll need a third. We'll need reliable mm-hmm. young people to play. So and he's a Q. He's a Q dog. So if I can get him in, maybe he infects some of his other homies. Okay, let me get other guys in the game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So growing the game, like you said.
I got beef with Qs, but that's another story.
Okay. All right. Well,
we'll talk about that when we finish the show. I'm actually interested in hearing how this all pans out.
Right.
Okay. So there you go. We got to get more Vern's videos up on our website, but you follow mm-hmm. us on Instagram. Golf mm-hmm. DMV Podcast is the handle on Instagram. Right. Yep. Twitter, Golf DMV 1. And on Facebook, just search Golf DMV. And yeah, man, 2 weeks and counting until the launch of 1500. So here's the thing. It is very much so possible that you will not get a new podcast next week as we do radio prep. But as we do a radio prep, maybe we'll record something and release it. I don't know.
Right.
Okay.
Here's the thing. If you tune in next week and there's nothing new, we didn't do a new one. I mean, we're getting ready for radio. Right. You know what I mean? Right. But if you tune in next week and there is something, then there is.
There you go.
That's what it is.
Just check it out. I mean?
Yeah.
If you do your due diligence, just download the podcast. Right. You'll see.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm sure that no one listening, maybe someone has, but very few have listened to all 115 or so episodes or whatever it is.
Right.
So if we don't do one next week, just go back and listen to one of the old ones.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Listen to a few that you haven't listened to before.
Right. Yeah.
And then we'll back to like episode number 4 where Rick almost pooped his pants.
There you go.
That's a classic.
That's a classic.
Yeah, that is a classic episode. It was very odd.
Shout out Rick.
Yeah. Rick McCormick. Yeah. Rick McCormick did that. All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Rick McCormick of Laurel.
Right. Good night. All right. Catch you next week, guys.
Good night.
Good night.
I wish you guys nothing but best. The ceiling is the roof.